Good morning, church. I'd like to welcome you to our service this morning. And for those of you who are joining via technology this morning, we'd like to welcome you also. I participated in Gardner Webb's winter Bible study preview about a week and a half ago. And one of the things we talked about from the letter, the letters of John, is Paul would write, I want to be with you, but since I can't be with you, then this letter will have to do. So for those of you joining us online, we wish you were here, but we're glad that you were joining us in some way, shape, or form. Just a few announcements for this morning. Please bring your shoeboxes by this Tuesday at 12 o'clock so we can get those in. This is the collection week, and so get those in so Nicole can get all those turned in. We still have a few boxes. So you can see Nicole if you would like to pick one of those up. The grave service for Paul Loveless is today at 3 o'clock. Our community Thanksgiving service will air next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And it will air on the same platforms that you find our service. So you can visit the church Facebook page or the website where you would typically go to see our service. To see that community Thanksgiving service that involves several churches in our area. We have good news. I'll pretend I'm Clyde Buckner for a second. The van is here. Yay, let's celebrate that. And as you walk by the garage after service, you can visualize what it looks like and just be thankful that it's parked out there. So we were grateful that that is here, so great job on that special project. And a very, very important announcement here. Everybody go, fried pies. Fried pies. Fried pies, you must pre-order them by November 18th, and you can pick them up on November 19th. And you can see Miss Nellie or Miss Wilma, would you raise your hands? And you can see those two fine ladies to order those. Get those orders in because those proceeds go to always something good at the church. And I'm not exactly sure what they go to. Scholarship fund. I knew it was a good cause. So please pre-order those pies and look forward to tasting those in the near future. So as we begin or continue in our service this morning, will you join me in prayer? Dear God, it is good to be here today. It is good to see friendly faces. It is good to be in your house. God, whether your house is here, in our living room, or wherever we find ourselves this morning, it is just good to take a moment to rest, to reflect, to pause, and to worship together in this time that we have set aside. God, we thank you for this church, for what it means to us and what it means to this community. We pray that during this time that we've set aside for worship, that you would lead, guide, and direct us as only you can. Help us to leave this place today a changed people for you. God, we pray for our shoeboxes as they go from this place later this week to literally the four corners of the world. Bless those boxes that they might be a blessing to all who receive them. It's in your precious and holy Son's name we pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
oh,
righteousness. I dare not trust thy sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my song.
This is my song.
Praising my Savior all the day.
I stand, all other ground is sinking sand,
and it is well, it is well with my soul, my soul. As we come to our time of community at prayer, I have several people and families to mention if you will be praying for them this week. The family of Randy Padgett, that's a friend of Andy Oliver. For the family of Paul Loveless. For Scott McCraw, who's Peggy Putnam's son. Joanna Allen, who will be having brain surgery. For Chris Beaver. And for Shelley Lowry, who is recovering from surgery from this past week. If you will pray with me. This morning we come to you, God, and lift up the names just mentioned. For those of us also who have lost dearly loved ones, for those of us who are recovering from illnesses and surgeries, and for all of the numerous and unspoken prayer requests on each of our hearts. Thank you for being a God who knows them, even when they are never uttered aloud. And thank you for being a God that bears the burdens we face alongside of us. We commit these requests to you, trusting in your goodness to hear us and your faithfulness to respond. Amen.
Fried pies. Aaron, you got me thinking about them now, so this is going to be a short service today. It's good to see all of you. We've got a good crowd here today, and you're wearing your mask and you're socially distant, so that's good. And it's just good to see everybody back. And you were chattering like good old Poplar Springs. It was crazy in here. It's great to hear you. We always talk about that's part of our service. We don't stand up in the middle of the service and say shake somebody's hand. We do that plenty of times before the service. So I appreciate you doing that, getting back in the saddle again. All right, we're looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I've been in Romans for the last little bit, and when I get back in January, we're going to go back to it again. We've talked about a lot about the fact that we're all in pretty bad shape. Paul talks about that. We need the grace of God. We need forgiveness. We're in bad shape. But we have that forgiveness, and then we're going to start talking about some requirements of the faith. So we'll talk about that in January, Lord willing. But today I'm reading from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. The basis for peace, hope, and joy. The basis for peace, hope, and joy. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Let's pray together. Father, we're saved by grace. What a wonderful thing that is to know, and to know that we are on the same page with you. The bridge has been built because of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We have access to God in Christ. And Father, I just pray that we'll help us to live a life of peace and joy, and that folks will see Jesus Christ living in our lives, that we'll leave here today a changed people because we've been able to worship together. And you'll encourage us and energize us so that we may go out and serve you. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is a crazy question, but have you ever been in conflict with somebody? Husbands, don't say anything. Wives, don't say anything. But you've been in conflict before. And, of course, when this happens, you aren't at peace. you're kind of troubled a little bit. In fact, you're troubled a lot. You're angry. I should have said this and I should have said that. You have no joy. You're distressed, whether you admit it or not. And you wonder, is there any hope for a renewed relationship? Is there any hope for that? Will it ever be the same again? Because that's what conflict does. It causes a rift. Paul's been harping on the fact that mankind is in conflict with God. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want to be accountable to anyone. We want to have the freedom to do our thing. So we're in conflict with God. And many of us are not on good terms with the Almighty God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present creator of the universe. We're not on the same page with him, and have to admit it's to our advantage to be on good terms with God. It's a good thing to be on good terms with God. That's needless to say. The people of Paul's day are like people today. They're like people today. And that's the neat thing about the scriptures. A lot of times we get caught up in the words. We say, this means this in the Greek, or this means that. But we lose track of the fact that it's about people. He's dealing with people. It's an ancient dilemma that people were dealing with. The people of Israel sought peace with God in a number of ways. A number of ways. Whether it was sacrifice or ritual or whatever, some way to make peace with God, to get on the same page with him. From the Exodus to the prophets, from the prophets to the time of Jesus, and people today are trying to figure out, how can we resolve the divide between God and us? How can we resolve that divide? And is God out to get me? Is he out to get me? That's a troubling question. How can we find peace with God? How can we find peace with God? I've told you 12,000 times. I've already told my stories 100 times here. I've been here 10 years almost, so you've heard all my stories. But I've told you this a number of times. Peace is a wonderful thing. Just being at peace, a wonderful thing. It's the absence of external conflict. You know, when you're not in conflict with someone, that's peace. You're not fighting with somebody. But then there's peace, a state of mind, serenity, and calm. That's nice. Those words just sound good. Serenity, calmness. Would any of y'all like some of that right now? Would that be something? Young parents like this. It comes in moments. Young parents. You're chasing kids around. And it's a wonderful thing because I miss it. But it can be a stressful time as you try to get your kids to all the different appointments and all the different places. And when they're fighting with each other or something like that, it gets kind of crazy around the house, doesn't it? Caregivers look for peace. They long for peace. Caregivers who are taking care of parents or loved ones. And just looking for a few seconds of peace and calm. Single parents long for peace as they work long, hard hours to take care of their families. And those tormented by their flawed human nature seek something to ease their minds and find some relief. Finding that money and possessions and popularity and power are only temporary fixes. People are looking for peace, looking for peace. Some become rigid and dogmatic. They become rule followers, being meticulous in the faith. Like the Pharisees. If I do all these rules right, if I say everything the right way, and if I do everything the right way, God's going to be okay with me. I'll be all fine with him, like the Pharisees. And they don't get any peace. Some get heavily involved in their church. If I take every job the nominating committee calls me about, I'll have peace. Or on their jobs, if they do good work on their jobs, they'll find peace. They're never home because they have work to do in the house of the Lord or for the boss. And the home is in chaos and the mind is stressed to the limit. So peace is something that's not easy to come by. It's difficult. Martin Luther's life story is one of a search for peace. I reread that the other day about Martin Luther and his search for peace with God. He was tormented and tortured by conceptions of an angry God out to get him, ready to pounce on him at any time. That was his conception of God. He was terrified concerning hell and trying to make sure he did not end up in that place. It consumed him. It consumed him to the point where he was miserable in life. He read Romans. He read Romans. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and his life was changed. He found peace with Almighty God through reading of Romans. And he changed the world. He changed the world. He decided, as the hymn writer wrote years later, "Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?" Paul said it this way in verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, We have peace with God. Peace with God. Justified meaning to set right, to make right, to put in good standing. We're in good standing with God through faith. That's a good thing. We can smile about that. But because Jesus came to this earth as God in the flesh, we have access to God. He's not some distant being out there that we can't contact with, but we have access to God, the creator of the universe, the all-knowing one. We have access to him. And we see that God cares. Jesus showed us that God cares about us. We know that God knows our dilemma. He knows our situation. Sometimes we feel so alone, feeling like nobody knows how I feel right now. But God knows. He knows. And by his death on the cross, we have redemption. We know God cares. He paid the debt I owed for my sins. A debt I can't pay. I'm unable to pay it. And the eternal punishment for my sins has been taken care of. That's a good reason to be at peace. It's taken care of. It's a good reason to be at peace. And the question comes to us now, have you made peace with God? Have you done that? Have you taken the time to say, God, we need to work this out. We need to sit down and we need to talk a little bit. We need to pray and we need to work this out. I need to find peace. And there's no doubt without a living, thriving, intimate relationship with God and the peace found in Jesus Christ, that joy will be in short supply as well. Joy will be in short supply as well if we're not at peace. It's hard to be joyful in that time. Christmas 2020 is supposed to be a time of joy. It's supposed to be a time of joy as we celebrate the birth of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The time of joy is coming. It should be every day, but it's coming. It's going to be different this year. No sitting on Santa's lap. You know something I'm going to miss? I sit on Santa Claus's lap every year. I sit on at our Christmas party. And as I wait under the mistletoe for a Christmas kiss, I get a cozy fist bump. I pucker under those mistletoe things. I sit there waiting. But it's not going to happen. Kim will come up and go, good to see you. Cookies for Santa will be Little Debbie style, individually wrapped by the company. And make sure the milk is in the sealed pint container. We don't want Santa getting sick. Candlelight communion will not be a come-to-the-front thing this year as we partake in the elements. It'll be different this year. But instead, stay at your seat with your face mask on. Your communion cup will be delivered to you via the two-stage cup. With sealed cracker and sealed juice. We tried that a couple of months ago. That was interesting. My lovely wife never found her cracker. Folks, excuse me of that. Andy's just missing a cracker or two somewhere. But she never found her cracker. Kim, we'll practice on one of them. Or I'll bring you a saltine. As the pandemic rages on, we grow more and more distant from family and friends. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time. There's distance there. And I'm not saying this in a superior parental tone. You better find Jesus. And I'm not going to take on the role of the all-knowing and merciless preacher. What you need to do is get right with Jesus. But Paul says it best. We rejoice. There's the assumption there. We're going to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Jesus. We rejoice in Jesus. And our hope, and he is our hope, and to believe that he is the manifestation of God in human form, that he came and lived among us. That's where we find our joy. Jesus came. And because he lived, died, and rose again, we too will live and rise again. That's our focus. That's where we find our joy, in Jesus Christ. We're only passing through this world. We're only passing through. Hopefully, we'll find some joy in this earthly abode. Hopefully, we'll find the joy, especially in 2020. Find the joy. And it should be a trademark of the church. Joy. Joy. Paul sounds like he's addressing a convocation of tired 2020 participants as I read these final verses. He goes on to elaborate for our reason for joy. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings. Now that's in our sufferings, not for our sufferings, but in our sufferings. We don't say, thank you, Lord, that I'm sick as I have a virus or something, but you do say, you're there in the midst of that, and I rejoice in that, that you're with me. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. It's all an education. That's what he's saying. We learn. We learn living life and what life entails when we go through suffering. And we find that we're a people of hope. We are a people of hope. Even in the difficulties life throws our way, we're a people of hope and joy and peace. Do they see it in us? Excuse me, did that right in the microphone. Did y'all get that? We do not lose hope. We do not lose hope. Another hymn writer wrote, I'm doing hymns today because hymns are so good. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing less. As I close, do you want peace, joy, and hope to be more than words on a Christmas card? Do you want peace, hope, and joy to be more than words on a Christmas card? More than a saying on a plaque or a wreath? Do you feel the need to resolve the conflict with God and be at peace? Do you want to be a joyful person? Enjoy God's great gift of life. Life is a gift. Do you want to enjoy it? Are you currently a hopeless person, vowing to gut it out and do it my way? There's an answer. There is an answer. A foundation for peace, hope, and joy, no matter what comes our way. There is a foundation, an answer. Jesus provided our way. Jesus provided our way. Is he your Lord and Savior today? Can you claim him as your Lord and Savior? He can be if you respond to the call of the Holy Spirit on your life. Is he calling you today to become a Christian, become a follower of Christ, to resolve the conflict? Is today the day to accept Christ as your Savior? Or for the most part, we're all Christians here. Is today the day to take it seriously, to live the life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that the conflict has been resolved. I still have an old nature that I deal with every once in a while, and it's kind of a struggle. But I know that the new nature that came about through Jesus Christ has changed me. And I know where I can go to find resolution to the conflict. I go to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In him I find access to God, and I find reconciliation with God. I'm at peace with him. And when we're at peace, we can face anything. I pray, God, that your peace will be on this congregation in the days and months ahead, that you'll bless us with your strength and guidance, that we'll go out into the world and be a joyful and peaceful people, that people will see an example of what Christ wants us to be in our lives. If there's someone here who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that they might make that decision today in their heart, if that means it is the case. And I pray, Father, that if we are Christians and we're currently kind of on the fence a little bit, not really living the life, but just kind of saying the words, I pray that we'll take it seriously, that we'll live a life of joy and peace and hope. Bless us now, Father, as we continue in our worship. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
Church family, we want to thank you for joining us this morning for worship, and for those who have joined online, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. I want to remind you that Sharon Carey is your Deacon of the Week this week, so if you have any concerns, you can call Sharon if you can't reach anybody at the church. Before we conclude our service this morning, I want to ask Andy if he'll come to the front. Usually you do, but come on down to the front. And I'm going to ask Kim to come to the front, too. She's going to kill me later. But Kim, will you please come to the front and stand with Andy? For those of you who don't know, this Friday is Andy's surgery that he has been preparing for quite some time. And we know that God has a hand on this, and he is going to come through, even though we've joked with him all week. This is your last Sunday. It's the last time we'll have lunch with you. It's your last Wednesday. But he is going to be just fine, and we're looking forward to seeing the positive outcomes of this surgery. If this had been a year ago, we would have asked them to come down front and everybody to come and lay a hand on him as we prayed. So since we can't really do that right now, I'm going to ask that as we pray, if you will just reach a hand out as we pray towards Andy and Kim, as we pray for them in the coming weeks and month. We have wonderful people who are coming to speak in Andy's absence, and we're looking forward to hearing from them. But we will look forward to having them back. As crazy as, you may not be as crazy anymore. That's no fun. You won't be creepy. He'll be crazy, but not creepy. Okay, that's good. We'll take that. All right, so if you will join me, if you'll just raise a hand out to them, and will you join me as we... You sure can. Let's stand as we do that. Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the chance to worship together this morning, God, and for how you've bestowed your presence upon us. And God, this morning we say a special prayer for someone who is so dear to all of us, God. We are a blessed people and we are a blessed congregation, and a huge part of that is because we have such a wonderful pastor in Andy. And God, he has been preparing and looking towards this surgery for months now, God. And God, we know that he is ready to get in there and get this done. But God, we know with any surgery, there are nerves and there are worries, God. And God, as he prepares for Friday, as he moves towards Friday, pray, God, that you will quiet his heart, that you will give him a sense of peace, the only peace that you can give, God. And God, we just pray that he would go into that room that morning with confidence, knowing that you are cradling him the whole way. God, we ask that you be in the hands of the doctors who will be working with Andy, with the nurses. God, we thank you that Andy is so willing to not only just undergo this surgery, but be willing to go through different tests that might help other Parkinson's patients in the future. God, thank you that he's willing to not just think about himself, but think about others during this process as well. God, you have such a wonderful purpose in this. God, and we know that you've got Andy in your hands. God, may you fill his heart with that knowledge, God, as he prepares for this surgery. God, we pray for him in the coming weeks as he recovers from this surgery, God, that that you would give him a quick recovery. As he goes in for his second procedure, God, we prayed nothing but success during this whole journey for Andy. God, we pray for Kim, because Kim probably has the same concerns and needs the same peace that Andy does. God, we pray that for her. God, we pray that you give her strength and perseverance as she cares for Andy in the coming weeks. God, we pray that through this all, God, you would be glorified. We pray that your hand on their lives would be evident. And God, we pray that the outcome of this surgery will be everything that Andy has hoped for. God, we love him and we love Kim, and we are so thankful for them. And God, we have confidence that you are a God of comfort and a God of peace and a God of healing. And we trust these beloved people to you. God, thank you for the chance to be ministered by them. God, allow us to minister to them in the coming weeks. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning.